The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the Word of God stands forever. Our second reading of Scripture is from the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Hear the Word of God. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. Whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Thanks be to God. This is the word of the Lord. Someone is calling. Do we all need food? Yes? There's no question about it. Without a minimal daily caloric intake, we would waste away. Do we all need water? Of course. Water is the single most important building block of the human body. Do we need sleep? Yes, without it, some psychologists say, we would begin to hallucinate and be unable to distinguish clearly between dream and reality. Food, water, sleep, these are some of the basic needs that all of us acknowledge and attempt to satisfy as we live our daily lives. Let us bow in prayer. Oh Lord, what do we need? We need you, and we need others. We also need the basic needs of our body. Lord, remind us that we are in need, that we need to be fulfilled by your grace. Through Christ we pray. Amen. I mentioned what? Food? Water? Sleep? Yes, we need these. But there's one important salient need that we tend to ignore or forget or neglect. This requirement is built into the human soul and shows itself in various ways. This is the requirement that we have, the need we have for one another and for God. Men and women are social beings. That's one of the reasons we're here. We need one another. We are like bees in a hive, in some sense, or ants in a nest, although you may not like the comparison. We thrive and we prosper in a social setting. Our civilization, its art and music, its science and technology, all are the product of interdependence and social cooperation. When you had breakfast this morning, you may have eaten a piece of toast made from wheat from Nebraska. On that toast, you may have spread butter from a Pennsylvania dairy. Your coffee may have been made from a blend of beans grown in Brazil and the Ivory Coast. The jam on your toast may have come from California grapes, or perhaps you had English marmalade. The first thing in the morning, you and I are blessed with the tangible products of human interdependence. We need one another, even to have a simple breakfast that we may take for granted. We need one another, too, on a deeper and more intimate level of life. Who wants to live his life isolated and alone? We have an inner longing to communicate, to share, to love. We feel the need to be a part of one another. This is basic to our nature. This is the way God has made us. In the book of Genesis, God said, "It is not good that man should be alone." And then God proceeded to make a woman, a partner and companion for man. Now, not all of us are made for marriage, but all of us are made for relationship. It is not good that we exist and remain alone. Families, friends, marriage partners, neighbors, we all need one another. We are independent, interdependent. Without others to relate to, life, what would it be? Like living in solitary confinement. In Genesis 1:21, we read, "God created man in his image. Male and female created he them." Both male and female are what the Bible considers true, generic man. It's not male alone. It's not female alone. Male and female created he them. The basic unit in God's creative order, and therefore in our society today, is not the isolated, detached individual. The Bible tells us that the basic unit is the individual in relationship. Here is an implied critique of our modern American society. Our society was founded upon the belief in true freedom, on the freedom of individuals in right relationship to one another. It wasn't based on the idea of a false, selfish, egocentric freedom. Liberty today and the pursuit of happiness is too often perceived simply as an isolated individual human right. The Bible presents a better view. It says that self-fulfillment, that true freedom, are only discovered as a person is related to another and to God. The individual and his own desires are not, according to Scripture, the basic unit called man. Now take that seriously. We have so much dissension between male and female. And yet, how do we pursue such an avenue of thought when male and female are needed to make man? The atom we consider the basic building block of the universe. But the atom is composed of a neutron, electrons, protons, and many subatomic particles, all relating to one another in circulating orbits and traveling at terrific speeds. Even the basic material of the universe is built for relationship. How then can it be any different with a world of people in which we orbit and move? God has built into the structure of the universe the need for relationship. Ann Landers printed a letter from a woman offering to take an unwanted husband with all of his foibles off the hands of an unhappy wife who had written a letter earlier. The woman explained, "I'm 36, a successful career woman who would love to be married. I put on a happy face, but I'm desperately lonely and need to be needed by someone." Perhaps some of you might respond, "Get a life, lady." A husband isn't a solution, is it? As a matter of fact, well, I won't go on. The point is, we all need to be needed. And you and I can fulfill this need in relationship, in a marriage relationship, a personal friendship, a family commitment, a church involvement, or through quiet worship and communion with God. Jesus had a need to relate. Before he took to the road in ministry, he called disciples to join with him in his ministry. After announcing the kingdom of God, Jesus' first act was to call disciples to him. "Come, follow me," he said. Jesus knew that the individual was not the basic unit in God's creative order. He envisioned God's kingdom with persons involved in loving and compassionate relationships with one another. By way of parenthesis, think about your life and your relationship to others. Do you find loving, compassionate connection? Or are you at odds, always complaining, always picking apart? What is God's intention for you? Jesus said, "Take up your cross and follow me." Become my disciples. Join me on a road to adventure. Lose yourself in pursuit of a higher way and a better kingdom. There's a story derived from ancient Korean folklore about a man who visited hell. And there in hell, he saw a great long table extending as far as the eye could see. It was covered with the most delicious of all varieties of food. But everyone there, seated at the table, everyone was starving to death. What? No one was allowed to eat from the table unless he used 4-foot-long chopsticks. But the chopsticks prevented the people from moving the food from the table to their mouths. The chopsticks were too long. And so people were dying of starvation. The man who visited hell was then allowed to visit heaven. And there was an identical table covered with the same delicious food, but everyone at the table was happy. Everyone was well fed. The people in heaven also had 4-foot-long chopsticks, but instead of trying to feed themselves, they were feeding one another. Built into the human soul is the need we have for one another and God. That is the wonderful way God has designed us. And as we fulfill our need to relate, as we interact with others, as we interact with God, we are brought close to understanding the very meaning of heaven. Let us bow in prayer. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God in relationship, teach us today how very important for your design for our lives is the opportunity we have to reach out and relate to someone. Direct us to the road on which Jesus traveled. Help us to look beyond ourselves, to care, to show compassion, to love. In the name and power of Christ, we pray. Amen.